Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are here this morning in a way that You have not been here for a long, long time, almost 2,000 years. And reveal Thyself, Lord, as Thou hast not revealed Thyself over all that period of time. And we're grateful, Lord, that the ends of the world have come upon us, not just cosmos, but the very end of redemption, salvation, and earthly revelation is all here today. And it is wrapped in such a tiny parcel of the Word, yet it is so significant and so wonderful, Lord, to know that the life within that little parcel of Word is God Himself, Creator, Sustainer, and all these things. And we have no problem with it any longer, but just rejoice, Lord, in the unfolding of it all. We pray for each one this morning in divine presence to be richer in the knowledge and grace of our Lord than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're still in Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 15 to 23, and you may wonder, when I will finish either when I die or I'm taken away. I see no door out because I am not looking for a door out. This is the door in. And if you begin to go past the door in, you miss it. And this is how I view the scripture we have been dealing with ever since the month of May. Now, we'll go back again, and I will have to try to recap from where I left off over a month ago and continue and bring you to where I want to place you in the sense of understanding the Word of God. And it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 17, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And the quote we used on that was Brother Branham's quote, which I use all the time, Daniel 70th week. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. As I've often mentioned to you, that sounds as though it were phrased by a very uneducated and illiterate mind, but that's not true. This is the most literate mind led by the Holy Spirit since the Apostle Paul. The Spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. He's telling you here that the Holy Spirit will reveal Himself so that you will know it is the Holy Spirit. And then that same Holy Spirit will make known to you that which no one else can make known to you. And He's called the Spirit of Wisdom. And it says He's going to bring the church in and revealing what day we're living. And notice what He's doing. He's bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel. Now, he's giving the human phrase there, as there was an angel came by the name of Gabriel to Daniel, and which was an embodiment of the wisdom of God. The Word of God was in him, transferring that to Daniel that Daniel might know. Even so, at the end time, the Holy Spirit would use angelic visitation and the prophet to reveal the deep secret things of Almighty God. Now, we went into the book of Romans, specifically the 11th chapter, to give us an understanding of that spirit of wisdom in this hour. In the 33rd verse, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Now, we showed you that this verse, and of course also another verse or so, that this was the consummation of the great mystery of God blinding Israel, opening the eyes of the Gentile, and then down later, when he would open the eyes of Israel again and blind the eyes of the Gentiles. And Paul screams out here that this is the great wisdom and knowledge of God. Now, we would not perhaps think in those terms, a tribute to God, this great wisdom and knowledge, because God is doing this. However, this is true. And what Brother Branham did here, when he mentioned, as I read over in Ephesians, how the Spirit comes into the church to make known to the church the hour in which it is living and revealing the deep secrets of God, he was taking the historical aspect of this hour in a portion of that definition of that Spirit that was in the church. And he talks about the hour that the church is in. Now, you'll notice that we place this Spirit just before the resurrection. We saw that in Ephesians 1, what is the verse 19, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ, and so on. Now, so therefore, this Spirit then comes into the church, the Gentile church, just at the conclusion of all things, because the resurrection and the rapture concludes all of God's earthly plan in cosmos until He turns it over to the millennium. I know that you follow what I'm saying there. Now, in Ephesians, where it says, give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, there is no doubt that this revelation and knowledge is pertinent to God Himself. So it's not simply a revelation that the Spirit brings and says, this is the last hour. This is the hour of the blinding of the Gentile, the opening of the eyes of Israel. This is the hour of the resurrection. That's true. But there is what Brother Branham also said, the rich, deep mysteries would be revealed to us. Now, I want to quote to you some things that Brother Branham said that will give you the understanding of the revelation of this hour which has been identified. Now, he says here in the Feast of the Trumpets, and I'm going to read some more of it too, and we've got to come to a place again to something that's going to introduce Messiah. And how could the Messiah, the people that's believing in Him, know it unless they're constantly in the Word to know what He is? Now, Daniel said that the wise shall know. Well, that's the wise virgin. But the foolish, the unwise, that's the foolish virgin, wouldn't know. They shall know their God. Now, you'll notice here, and how could the Messiah, the people that's believing Him, know it? That is introduction. Unless they're constantly in the Word to know what He is. Now, you could study that Bible for 24 hours a day and miss it. You could dedicate yourself to the life of a hermit when you did nothing but just go in the Word, in the Word, in the Word, and you could miss it a million miles. See, what he's doing here is drawing a parallel with Israel. That the Messiah stood there, and they called Him the devil and crucified Him. Now, they weren't in the Word. Now, I know someone say, but Brother Dale, they had the Torah. Ha! Listen, they went into Babylon. When they left, they had a temple. They had the Torah, the Word of God. They had a priesthood. When they came back, they had a synagogue, a Talmud, and a rabbinical order. Now, come on. We're not stupid. We're not idiots. How far do you have to miss the target to miss the target? I'm not going to have a show of hands here for how many hunters there are, but there's enough hunters here to know when you miss the moose, you miss the moose. So, well, Brother Bear, we sure came close to getting that moose. I can just taste it now. Sheep. You'd survive on the broth made from the shadow of a chicken that starved to death. You must have something nobody else has got. They weren't in the Word. No way, shape, or form, so how in the world could they know Him? Brother Branham also said that He came according to the Word, but not according to their interpretation of the Word. Well, gee whinnikers, that's bad. That's not nice of God. Hold it. God knew their argument. So He sent a prophet to identify the Word. Now, how come they weren't in it? You think Israel had an excuse? Don't be ridiculous. Now, Brother Branham says that something has got to introduce the Messiah. Ha! Something? Hey, John, what are you? I'm a something. No, you are. He's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Somebody's got to come. It's going to take something, so I'll stand with the word something. So they're going to know their God. Now, how it's said that He shall appear in the last days is to bring the people back to the Word. I ask a question. What Word? What Word? A whole booklet. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is what the prophet's saying to bring me back to the Word. He wasted his time because I wasn't already back to the Word if this is the Word. But that per se is not the Word. Because there's a lot in there that doesn't have one thing to do with me or ever will have one thing to do with me. There's a lot in there that's run its course and it's finished. There's a lot in there that doesn't pertain to me. But by the grace of God, I'm going to be out of here. What word? The word of the hour. John the Baptist never took him back to Noah's day. He never took him back to Moses' day. He took him to that present hour and introduced the Messiah. Now, see, what I'm trying to get you to start thinking is this. What is all this talk about introducing the Messiah in this hour? Because you see, really, I think there's quite a few of you even sitting here this morning, and you, look, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I know I'm not wrong because I got trouble too. You're sitting here this morning and you're still confused about Godhead. And if something hadn't happened, that nobody likes to see happen, you'd be very confused about Godhead. Because there's one God. And Jesus is not God, the man. Because the Scripture says that God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God fathered Him as nobody has ever been fathered outside of Him, but Jesus is not God. Only when God steps into Him. Now, he's the attributes of God. And he that sees attributes, sees producer of attributes, though he doesn't see producer of attributes. Now, you think I'm getting away from my subject. I'm not, because I'm going to get back on later on again. And I'm going to take you right back to where I was talking a while ago here about the fact of presenting Messiah. And instantly, your mind goes to a man born of Mary called Jesus. And you forget that this Messiah was both man and God. For unto us a child, son is given, unto us a child is born, unto a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Mighty God, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. If you don't believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And you can't get out of your minds the word Messiah. Only in a body form. And I got news for you. That's where you're wrong. Now hold that in mind, because I'm going to take you some very strong scripture after a while. I'm going to show you that what you have always thought to be sweet little things said about Jesus are not sweet little things said about Jesus to make you act like him, but to make you to know Messiah will be right down here amongst the Gentiles. Now, you see what I'm talking about? Okay, just listen carefully. Now, how it's said that he shall appear in the last days is to bring the people back to the Word. Say, what Word? Jesus never went back to the known. He never went back. He went to the revealed Word of the hour. So the bride will know her husband, her mate, the revealed Word. This is his promise for this age. Now, was William Branham some loudmouth that God finally killed because he talked out of turn? Where is the promise of this? Now, you're supposed to be back to the Word this morning. Where's the promise? Years ago, when Brother Branham passed off the scene, we were all convinced the message would precede the coming of the Lord. And, of course, the question was, what is the message? Still a good question. Now, I got another good question. This is the promise of this age. Where do you find it? Brother Branham also says, the Word made flesh is the light of the age when you see it. When you see the flesh, or what? The Word made flesh is the light of the age when you see it. The Bible said so. Never quoted one scripture for it. Well, you see, I believe that. You do? What do you believe? Tell me. What does it mean? What's he talking about? Well, you see, it's like that switch on the wall. I know that switch works. So, up and down, that's good. That's nice. How do you work this? Okay. Jesus, the Son of God, revealing himself by the Scripture, making that Scripture that has been predestinated to this day like it was to that day and all other days live. Oh, where does it live? Well, hey, I saw a lovely flock of geese go by. That's nice. I'm not a goose, I'm not interested. Hey, do you know there's a whole bunch of new white lions in Africa that I think they're going to have a real breed develop now. Something has developed, and they maybe can't trace it back. But now there's these nice white lines. Well, that's lovely, but I don't get along with lines. What am I trying to tell you? It had better be something that God is doing with people, or I'm not interested. See, people are all talking now about those nine planets lining up. My own opinion is, it's going to be just like when I was a tiny kid and the Seventh-day Adventist said that the bride would be gone in the morning. And I sort of shivered there and I couldn't sleep too good that night. And I remember even now waking up next morning, it wasn't even morning. Sky was pitch black and I looked out the window because we didn't have curtains or blinds and the wind and the snow could come in through the cracks. We lived pretty lowly. And had lots of food though, thank God for that. I remember looking out and, I was kind of glad that it hadn't happened. Look. Jesus, the Son of God, revealing himself by the scripture, making that scripture that has been predestinated to this day live. Now that's a pretty big statement. You know that nobody believes that except us if we believe it? Nobody believes that. They say, well, it's already been proven. What has been proven? Even today, nothing has been proven. You can't prove anything. What did William Branham actually prove? Well, if he proved anything, then he was bigger than Jesus, because Jesus couldn't prove anything. Well, you say, yeah, but the fact is that Jesus really did prove. Not unless you wanted to believe it. Not unless you had a mind to believe it. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, revealing himself by the scripture. Now we're talking about introducing Messiah. The prophet said that's supposed to be done. We're going to take you and show you it is done. And so on. Making the scripture predestinated to this day live. Certainly it'd have to be to this day. And to believe it is the evidence of the Holy Spirit, righteousness. Okay. Let's start reading. Feast of the Trumpets. But the prophet said the sun will not shine through this day. It'll be a day of gloom. Oh, they've had enough light like a real rainy day. You know what kind of light a rainy day has. They could join churches and believe the Lord and things like that. But he said in the evening time the clouds will move away. The denominations will fade. And the same gospel, the same word made flesh as he promised in Luke 17:33. Well, too bad the prophet didn't read it. Go back and take a look at it. Now you see, he made a mistake. It's Acts 17:30 what he wanted. Even thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now he's talking about what? The Word made flesh. Let's go back to Luke 17 again. And it's verse 22, and he said, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and shall not see it. Turned right around and told them there would be a day that would come in another generation and they'd see that day. Who was the Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and so on. And the Word became flesh. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Thou art the Christ. Perfect identification. All right. The Word made flesh. In other words, the very same Word that was flesh is going to come again. The same gospel with the same thing would take place in the evening time just when the shadows are getting low. Now, Brother Branham categorically placed together the scripture of the book of Luke, which nobody but nobody, in my estimation, and I've read quite a number, has ever even come near guessing at. They can't explain it. The prophet said, that same one that became flesh would appear at the end time, bringing revealed light. The same gospel, the same Christ, listen, that lived in the flesh back yonder at the beginning on the eastern people shall live again in the western people at the end time. Now, did he live in them as being within them? No. He lived amongst them as being with them. Now, the prophet says he's going to do it to the western. It shall be light in the evening time, and the light travels to the west. Scripture says so. All scripture is given by inspiration and cannot be broken. The big 50 days has passed over. The Pentecostal feast has passed over. Seven Sabbaths until the trumpets, the type of the seventh church age. Remember, under the sixth trumpet, the Jews. Under the sixth trumpet, the Pentecost rejected the Bible. The lukewarm, not only Pentecostals, all the rest. The church world rejects Christ. He's put on the outside. And in the same seal, rather, when it was opened, now you see, up here he calls it a trumpet, but he means it was a seal. You realize the sixth seal is open and in progress. I always used to believe that there were one, two, three, four seals consecutively. Five overlapped any number. Then number six came into being, and seven was revelatory, but it's wrong. There's only four seals that actually live in existence chronologically as a period of time, for there is four riders, there are four beasts, there's never anything beyond four. Five, six, and seven run concurrently. Five can run all the way from one to four, included and especially four. Six breaks under four, seven breaks under four, and is revelatory. You say, well, Brother Vail understood that was the little coming of Jesus Christ. Well, isn't that also revelatory? I lost you, didn't I? Huh? How many got lost? Raise your hand and be honest with me. Want me to go over it again? Okay. Here's where we should have our blackboard. I used to believe that the seals were semi-consecutive. They are concurrent in some areas. That is, they run, some seals run along with other seals. Brother Branham categorically said that the brindle horse, the fourth rider, which was the fourth seal, ran plumb out of existence into eternity, right? Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is under the fourth seal. Is that right? Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is the seventh seal. So it runs concurrent. Or at the same time, the seal number 4 runs. But seal number 5 is the souls under the altar. And the major number under the altar come under Stalin and Hitler under the fourth seal. Number 6 is to the Jews. And under the sixth seal is not simply 3.5 years great tribulation, but it's already broken on the Jews. The 200,000 horsemen are loosed. And the spirit of Rome that destroyed Jesus and hates the Jews was loose in Germany. Now they're trying to whitewash the Pope. Old Pius. Old Pius face. They're trying to whitewash him now that he really did cause Jews to escape. Well, hallelujah. They're going to worship the devil one day, so don't feel bad. They can be that stupid then. They're going to have to practice on it for a while. That same spirit of hell from Babylon that went through the Medo-Persians into Greece and ends in Rome, where Rome gets revived under a holy Roman Empire, a religious organization. That same spirit has already been loosed, which is under the trumpets, which is under the sixth seal. So the sixth seal is in progress at this moment. You understand now what I'm saying? All right. Under the sixth seal, the lukewarm church puts out Christ. In other words, there wasn't a chance of Christ outside the church and the organizations doing anything until, first of all, the spirits of hell fell on the Israelites to put them back in the homeland. You see what I'm talking about? So, and the same seal rather is open, that's the sixth seal. They showed Jesus on the outside of the church trying to get back in. At the same time, the trumpet sounds for the Jews. And the Jews recognize the atonement. In other words, what the Gentiles are doing right now is under a blinded condition. Wretched, miserable, naked, blind. And Israel at the same time is in the homeland making ready as best it can for a Messiah and believing for a Messiah. Now listen. At the same time those spirits are unbound, those 200,000, River Euphrates and so on, the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham says, has been bound by these denominational rivers for almost 2,000 years, but is to be loosed in the evening time, by the evening time message, the Holy Spirit back in the church again, Christ himself revealed in human flesh in the evening time. He said it, he promised it. There was three stages of it, as I said. Martyr age for the martyrs, reformers for the reformers calling out. When finished the Laodicean age, according to Revelation 10, the mystery of all the Bible would be known to the bride. Is that right? Revelation 10, now listen close. Bride called out by the word. Christ himself calling out the bride, making plain Hebrews 13 and 8. He would have to make that plain if it's the same one. When was Hebrews 13 and 8 ever brought into preeminence until this hour? Pentecost taught it, and nobody else did, but Pentecost couldn't produce it. They only produced what a dynamic faith in, as Brother Branham said, a right attitude toward any promise will bring it to pass. But there isn't any right attitude anybody can have toward the word of the hour to bring it to pass. That's God's attitude. It's not your mind attitude. And preachers run around and say, you listen to me and you got it. You listen to the evil and you'll go plumb to hell with bells on and I'll help you get you there. Because you stink, you deserve it. You say, how come you get up there and preach the authority? When did I ever mention Lee Vale knowing anything? When was I ever off this word the way the prophet taught it for one iota? I'll show you something this morning made my heart just have joy bell sitting there. Once more, I thank God that never once has he given me one word that ever didn't dovetail perfectly with every other word. Just be prepared. If you get too tired, stand up. Those seats are much nicer. I'm glad you got them this morning. Just thank God for them. We'll be here for 2.5 hours, I suppose, yet. You get tired? Sorry, you go home. Take my time. I've got to. He that believeth on me, the works shall he do also. Singular, see? Luke 22. Then he said, no. Luke 17, 30. See, that's what he wanted to quote before and said 33. Also Malachi 4, Hebrews 4. Of course, that's the Word of God, you know, living, breathing, and so on. All these scriptures that promised, that is to be between the sixth and seventh seal and the sixth and seventh trumpet. Now, you'd say, hey, hold it there. If one runs concurrent with the other, sounds like there's a chronology. No, it just tells you what's happening. So that when you see it happen, you know what's just down the road. That's why Brother Branham said they don't know what's going on. That's their trouble. Now, where do we go to next? It says here. I go to page 39. Beginning at the first little paragraph. Look, I want to say one more thing closely now. Don't miss this. How striking. From the seventh angels, or the messenger of the seventh seal message, Revelation 10 was the seventh seal, to the seven trumpets between those times. Now he said, how can I make the people see it? It's between the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet, the sixth seal sounds at the same time. And between the sixth trumpet and seventh trumpet, there is a prophet to appear before the Gentiles to call the people back to the original Pentecostal doctrine. So he's taking Revelation 10 and he's interpolating it there between the two chapters of the book of Revelation. Now, and the two, to call thee back to the original Pentecostal doctrine. And the two witnesses of Revelation 11 appear to the Jews to send them to Jesus. While the church is being taken up, all of them prophets. Now you notice what he's saying here. As there are two prophets to appear, and that's the seventh trumpet to Israel. Now, don't worry too much what I'm saying. I'm just parroting the prophet for the time being. We're going to this another time. At that time, there are to be two prophets appear in Israel. But before that, see, there will be a Gentile prophet. So he's telling you, what is to occur at the end time? And he says, it's Malachi 4, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, who will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. The same thing that Jesus said. Before there can be a rapture, before there can be a millennium, before there can be a resurrection. Because that's what Mount Transfiguration, Matthew 17, was all about. He said, Elijah must truly first come and restore all things. Now, he didn't say Elijah and Moses. He said one prophet. Show me where there's one prophet to the Jews. There's two. Now, where does the one prophet come in? There was one prophet to the Gentiles, Paul. And there'll be one prophet at the end time. Now, read in your book and see. Now he said here, while the church is taken up, there's prophets. The word of the Lord cannot be broken. It won't be denomination. Do you see it? Read in your book and see if that between the sixth and seventh seal isn't injected in there with the Jews being called out. Between the sixth and seventh plague, we come over to the 144,000. You remember that? Which was between that? You remember between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, there was a calling out. You remember that. Now, as I say, don't let that bug you. I'm going to take you back and show you. All right, look. Chapter 6, you see in verses 12 to 17, the sixth seal. In chapter 7, the calling out and the sealing of Israel. In chapter 8, the seventh seal. So what he's not trying to place you chronologically. He says, look in your Bible between chapter 6 and chapter 8, where it ends with the sixth seal and 8 starts with the seventh seal, there's a calling out. So therefore, the sixth seal is in existence at this moment under the fourth seal. The seventh seal is to the Gentiles. The seventh trumpet is to Israel. But there's got to be something going on concurrently if there's ever going to be a resurrection and a rapture. So therefore, God sends the evening light, the prophet, under the fourth seal. And under that seal, the sixth seal breaks to Israel. The seventh seal breaks to the Gentiles. And it all runs out under the fourth seal. You getting what I'm saying? You're going to have to. You're never going to understand the Feast of the Trumpets. It's going on now. But the prophets have not yet appeared in Israel because the bride isn't gone. There's other things to transpire. All right. You remember that. Now there's where these trumpets come in. Right there, see. The persecution of horses loosed on there. Then between that and there, was to be the seventh angel's message that has been preaching and condemning the Pentecostals. Jesus has been put out. Wouldn't have no cooperation, nobody. Be put on the outside. Rejected. The Bible said so. For it's Christ made manifest among us. Jesus among us, all made manifest in the purity of the word, making it known. And if that, this is not just makeup, friends. This is thus saith the Lord, the scripture. Now, see, why have I read that to you? I'll explain it again why I read it to you. Because Brother Branham, in speaking concerning this scripture in Ephesians, he put it into a present historical tense. Then he said exactly what would be transpiring in the realm of Revelation. You follow what I said? Let's go back. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. God Himself coming on the scene, revealing Himself, and there is no revelation of God outside of Logos. So Logos comes into view, and at that time, identifying and revealing Himself and telling us, hey, it's time to get out of here. What you're seeing in Israel is not a phony thing. It's for real this time. Where's the promise of His coming? Oh, everybody said that for 2,000 years. Ha! Where's the... Oh, don't you dare teach the Bible in the church. I mean, in the schools. Because, after all, the assured voice of science has said it's evolution. You know, never in a pulpit have you seen a wackier nut than Lee Vail? A nicer guy or a rottener guy? Because I've wished you well and taught from my heart everything I could to help you. But I can hardly wait to see judgment hit on the hosts of hell. I can hardly wait to see the assured scientist scream at the judgment of God. You say, Dale, what if it hits you? Well, I deserve it. See, I'm to that place where I figure God better get some glory one of these days. I don't put a mean spirit on you. I don't think I do that to people. I'm rougher than a cob. But somebody's got to say something once in a while. Amen. For the dignity of Jesus, my Lord. They'll eulogize a pot-bellied stove that keeps you warm. Special kind of oven that makes the bread nice. But they won't make Him preeminent who made it all. I'm going to do that. Because He'll get preeminence as far as I'm concerned. Now listen, Israel got blinded, as I showed you last time, and I'm just going to take one verse for it this time, the one I love best of all, John 15 and 24, and y'all note, because I quote it dozens and dozens of times, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. He proved who he was. He turned him down flat. They literally blinded themselves. The light was too strong. The meat was too rich. The best they could do was take a little milk. You know, the Bible mentions at the end time there's going to be strong meat that only the milk bellies can't stand. We got a great granddaughter on formula. Try to get her mother and grandmother to get that kid off that stupid formula. She's getting fat. She's cute, but she's getting fat as a hog. Ruined her whole life. Her whole life lies ruined ahead of her. It's been proven. You get a kid fat now, to be fat all the days of their lives, and going to be wrong kind of fat, unless you can get them off somehow by strict, God knows what, going to be day-to-day process. The church has a lot of fat belly, formulated denominational milk kids. And you poke some meat into them, it'll kill them. They'll get cramps, nightmares, regurgitate, and some will swell up and die. Blinded. They couldn't take it. The same thing happens at the end time because it's guaranteed. It acts the third chapter. Now, you know where I'm going. How many don't know where I'm going? Man, you must be strange. You don't know where I'm going. You should know these scriptures the same as I know them. In the sense of there they are. Beginning at the middle of verse 19, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, he made a promise. A revival. A fresh breath. Like resurrection. From what is visible to the eye of God. Now, that's poor English. Not what's visible to the eye of God, what's visible of God to my eyes, what I'm really saying. That's better. Okay. We both know what we're talking about. It says there's going to be a stirring. Ah, come on. There isn't anything that's visible to my eye and your eye from God, but what causes controversy. And we say back, that's God. Ha! That's the devil. Hold it! Hold it! You're blaspheming. Ah, shut up. I'm telling you something. If that were God, he'd come to our denomination and our organization, and he'd do it this way. Where have we heard that before except in the gospel? Now, come on. We're not babies anymore. We're not idiots. In fact, we've got some pretty smart men here and pretty smart women. How much has human nature changed? Three major appetites, right? Is it three major appetites? Or maybe while eating, drinking is the same appetite, right? Sleeping is another, sex is another. Have you ever known people slept more, ate and drank more, and had more sex? Haven't changed one bit. Except to get worse. And the original translation of the book of Genesis is, not violence filled the earth, but sexual violence filled the earth. Pick up one newspaper. Pick up one newspaper where it isn't. 16-year-old boy in Dayton took a 13-year-old boy and raped him. And they'll say, poor sweet rapist. Cast that illegitimate judge! Had a lot of women. The slimiest skunk as any cop ever lived. We got him today. Until there's nothing left but sexual violence, overeating. And sleeping pills, sleeping pills, sleeping pills. And then they say, man changes. Man doesn't change one iota.
would happen in the days of Jesus if he appeared here in the flesh, they'd have had a ball crucifying him. And if you think the horrors of hell that took place on his body back there in his judgment, his scourging and his death on Calvary was anything, it'd be nothing compared to what they do today. For they wouldn't just give him a little gall and vinegar. I think they'd take syringes and pump him full of drugs. They'd do the same thing to this. You tell me man's changed. Sure, sure, sure. He's changed for the worse. Now it says, after this great revival, this which will bring controversy and will bring devil power. You know, make that 3 hours, that 2.5. I want you to go into history sometime and really see what a revival really is like. To see the two vines growing together. To see the two spirits interacting. And I mean interacting in this respect, they're both acting. They're not interacting in the sense as one was with the other. And a true cooperation. Better I should say action and reaction. Go back to the days of Martin Luther. Back his day. Face the man. Oh, brother. You talk about fanaticism and you talk about a mess. When Brother Branham kept quoting that what they marveled about Luther was he could keep his head above fanaticism, that's exactly true. Then you go to the days of Wesley. Brother, you talk about a mess. People went clean out of their skull. Spirits came upon them. So they'd run screeching and climb the walls of a barn. Run along the roof like a cat and bound 40 feet to the ground, then climb up a tree. Nobody got hurt. In the days of Evan Roberts, the institution for the insane overflowed. Brother Branham said, keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed. They wouldn't do it. Old Dr. J. McMillan that I met, one of the greatest men of God the Christian Missionary Alliance ever produced. Man who cast out devils. And I mean he had power with God to cast out devils. He said, Brother Bale, one thing I don't understand. He said, I love Brother Branham, believe he's a great and tremendous man. But he said, I don't understand why it is so many people leave the meetings devil-possessed. I smiled at him and I said, that's quite a question, Dr. McMillan. I walked out of the room. I wasn't going to answer it. I knew the answer. I'm telling you the answer this morning. The scripture declares in the word of God, Satan, Lucifer, you were in the Garden of Eden. Spirit that fell in this hour was met with 200,000 spirits of hell that were loosed at the river Euphrates. Sure. American money preserved the beast. American strength made Russia what it is today. And America can sit back and boycott Poland. They'll go to hell for doing it as far as I'm concerned because America made Poland what it is today. General Patton could have walked in and destroyed and taken over everything. Eisenhower was held back and so was Patton. We did the stupidest thing under God's high heaven to partition Germany. And then do to Poland what we did to her, what has always been done. Now America's standing back. Oh, God, don't you see this morning what Jesus said? You're the children of those that killed the prophets. Twofold, fourfold child of hell worse than your fathers and your mothers. And upon you has come all the destruction. America is going to die in this generation with bombs. Make the B-1, make the Phantom, make the Sleuther. God knows what you're going to make next. Make it all! Prepare war! There's not enough gallant men who stand still and not run at a sneeze anymore. America's finished. Brother Branham talked about gallant men. The gallant men, where are they? There's gallant men. They drink gallons of liquor. Listen. This end time revival is no different. It brought the kooks, the crazy. The speakers and tongues that made William Branham Jesus Christ, of all the asininity I've ever heard. There's no one, there's no man in this church this morning who's not as good a candidate to be Jesus Christ as William Branham. On this ground, William Branham was born of a man and a woman. He was predestinated. And his gift and ministry of God made room for him. But he wasn't Jesus Christ. What nonsense. Jesus Christ is on the throne, having left the mercy seat. William Branham's dead, no doubt gone back to ashes or bones. But the Logos that he heard is going to call him for it. Oh, he didn't serve God for nothing. But look what they did with this message. Now, it says, at this time, great revival, great demonstration, that which appeared to the eye. I quoted it in John. If I had not done the works that none other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. If you don't believe me, believe the works. As Brother Branham said, they heard the words of a man, but they saw what the words of a man could not produce. Oh, man. You think William Branham's word were to produce what he produced? Now it says, look, they're not going to believe it. It's going to cause controversy. It's going to cause this. It's going to cause that. The devil's going to rise up for the last time. Now, then it says, even he shall send Jesus, the Christ. Guaranteed. When God manifests himself, proving it is God by what the eye can see. Then, that's the hour. You can look for the incarnated God to return to this earth. The heavens got to receive him to restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. Now it tells there's got to be a restoration. Between the time of the miraculous demonstration of God proving himself that the same one that was here yesterday in the flesh, that same Messiah is here right now manifesting himself. It says before, Logos re-embodies himself, incarnated in the body of Jesus Christ. A restoration has got to set in. See now, restoration. Of all things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets. Then it turns around and tells you that after this restoration, every single one that doesn't get restored is going to be destroyed. And it tells you that this great ministry of restoration is only one can pull it off, and that's Elijah, because he's predestinated to it. Nobody else, it's Elijah. Before there's a resurrection, before there's a rapture, before there's millennium, before there's anything, there's got to be this tremendous manifestation. There has got to be restoration. And there's an identification. There says, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after. All right. Moses is there. Jesus is there. Samuel is there. Elijah is there. Four great ministries rolled into one. Now, he said, you're the children of the prophets. and the covenant which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, the days, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of earth be blessed. Now watch. In thy seed shall all kindreds be blessed. I want to ask you one question. What Gentile was blessed in that first 53 years? There was a platform being built for the Gentile church. The Gentiles were not coming in. They were to come in later. So he's talking now about what is coming on the Gentiles. Now watch. Unto you first, Jews, God raised him up. Now, unto the Gentiles is next. I'll ask you a question. I want anybody in this church this morning to open their Bibles to the book of Acts or any of the Pauline epistles, and you show me that the Apostle Paul had the identical ministry of Jesus Christ. You're not going to find it. He came in demonstration and power. But God was not raised up to the Gentiles. Jesus was not raised up to the Gentiles at that time. And Brother Branham correctly said, he never appeared to the Gentiles, but he's obligated by Scripture to do it. And here it is. First was to Jews. Secondly was to Gentiles. Tell me when it was done. Read your history. It's not there. Paul had a ministry. He came in the demonstration of the power of Almighty God. But there is no place where Paul fulfilled this. Now, we're going to go to the real scorcher. That is the real goody-goody, red-hot scripture. To show you concerning the prophet's declaration that he would appear to the Gentiles. That same spirit that was in him who walked this earth would be raised up to the Gentiles. We're going to go to Matthew 12. And I hope I can kind of hurry here, and if I do, we'll get out that much earlier, because maybe I can just read some notes and pass on. Maybe I can. Beginning at verse 15, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, and whom my spirit is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. You understand the saying? Something happened. Something happened. And when it happened, it was turned down. And he said, this is that one that is for the Gentiles. Oh, here's Mrs. Jones' house, and here's Mrs. Brown's house. So, a beautiful basket of groceries that is for Mrs. Brown gets sent to Mrs. Jones. Nice, isn't it? Old Lady Jones gets what belongs to Ma Brown. I can't buy that. Ma Brown gets Ma Brown's groceries. Mrs. Jones getting back. You see what I'm saying here in Scripture? At this time, those earmarks identified him with the Gentiles, and there weren't any Gentiles there. Mrs. Jew got Mrs. Gentile's groceries. Catch on? Keep thinking. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Now in a minute we're going to go back to Isaiah 42. But let's notice something here. We first note the setting that demanded displacing of an Old Testament prophecy concerning Christ. Now this is an Old Testament prophecy concerning Christ. What is the setting? Let's find out. Let's read verses 9 to 14. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had a hand withered, and he asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what shall there be a man among you, and that hath one sheep, and hath fallen in the pit in the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold and lift it out? How much more then is a man better than the sheep? Wherefore it's lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Then he said to the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it forth. It was restored like the other. Then the Pharisees went out, and they said, hallelujah, we finally found the Christ. Glory to God. Isn't this the Holy Ghost become manifest? Praise the Lord. Isn't this the Son of David? Hogwash. They saw a man healed. They laid a trap. And he walked out of the trap. And they were trapped in their own trap. And their hatred knew no bounds. And they said, we'll kill him. We'll kill him because he's right, you know. There's your setting. Listen, there's your setting of a prophecy to the Gentiles. You thinking now, real deep? You thinking? You get what I'm saying? You honest to goodness, you really catching what I'm saying now? This took place already. This man needed help. He was given help. Now they determined to exterminate him. And this demands a New Testament prophecy concerning Jesus and the Gentiles. Are we going to let Ma Jones get Ma Brown's groceries again? Probably for a denomination, you'll have no trouble. But wait till you get the other side. Verse 14, they held a council against him, how they might destroy him. The word destroy is to ruin, perhaps by death or just punishment. Get the picture. The council to destroy him. Let's take a little look at that council to get the real reason. For a good work we stone thee not. Dirty, rotten, stinking hypocrites. Verse 37 of John 8. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Oh, brother. I speak that which I see. Yes, I know that you're dissenter from the Apostle Peter, all right? Papal succession. But how come you kill so many people? Of course, I'm just reading in there ain't no such thing as a papal succession. which was and is not. I know you, Abraham's seed. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. And they said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you're Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, man, that told you the truth, which I have heard of God, thus did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said, we be not born of fornication. They understood serpent seed. Oh. What fornication was Abraham in? Nothing! Since Adam, there wasn't any fornication. You simply took a woman that was your wife or your concubine, you hit her. There's only one place fornication could have taken place.
the Garden of Eden. Jesus said, "If God were your Father, you love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me." See, that's the Logos. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you can't hear my word. "You're of your father, the devil, lust your father, you'll do he was a murderer in the beginning." See, that's Cain, right back to the garden. That's where fornication was. They understood serpent seed. "And abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." What did the serpent say? Was God surely said? Sir, the serpent said things that God didn't say. I'll just keep that little thought back. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? Which of you can find me wrong in one word? Which of you can prove I haven't done everything to fulfill Scripture? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. That tells you right with the evidence the Holy Ghost is. You therefore hear them not, because you're not a God. My sheep hear my voice. There is no seed. See? Then answered the Jews, said to him, "Say we not well, thou art a Samaritan, hast a devil?" "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Oh, brother. You say, "Well, Brother Bale, that means the fact he won't see the second death." Very nice. It also means the fact that you can have immortality at a certain time. And that you said, "Now we know you got a devil. Abraham is dead in the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he'll never taste the death." Hey, boy, that must have been a bunch of Sadducees right about that time, because they couldn't believe too much in the resurrection. They were sure in their heart with the Pharisees, weren't they? Birds of a feather flock together. Protestant, Catholic, all get together. "Art thou greater, Father Abraham?" So on. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I'll be a liar just like you, but I know him, and keep his saying. Hallelujah. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And when did he see it? See? They said, "Abraham is not 50 years old. I mean, if you're not 50 years old, how can you have seen Abraham?" He said, "Verily, before Abraham was, I am," and they took up stones to destroy him. See? Now, that's what really set them on fire. Now, let's go back to Matthew 12 again. Now we understand Matthew 12 a little better. Verses 15 and 16. "And when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from hence. The multitude followed him and healed them all, and he charged them they should not make him known." Now, watch. We're going to follow that by Matthew 22 to 30. "Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Now he said, don't spill the beans on me. Don't tell anybody who I am, just leave me alone. Don't try to identify. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." He said, no, he's not the real one, he's the bad one. "And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city of divided against itself shall not stand. If cast Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Wherefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you." Notice, if I cast out devils, the kingdom of God is come unto you. Why? Because it's starting to break down. It's all but over. Brother Branham walked into the building. At the end of every service, he said, we'll ask him to come. We don't know if he'll come. We'll ask him to come. Then he's here. "In the name of Jesus Christ, I take every spirit in this building under my control. Satan. Kingdom being broken down. And the kingdom of God amongst us." Listen, Satan's got to get kicked out of heaven personally. Then he's got to be put down on this earth personally. Thrown in the bottom of the pit. The kingdom's already started. I keep preaching that. Do you know how many of you really believe it? It's not way down the road. That's what's wrong, people looking down the road, looking back. I want to declare as a faithful minister of this word, what's going on now? Amen.
See? Or else how can one enter in a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, then he'll spoil his house? I want to ask you a time. Was there a time Brother Branham ever failed? And how come these people that say they believe the message believe John Todd, who said that Brother Branham was knocked down by 7 witches, not supposed to be a witch, too? And my best friends just loved the thought that I had had a hand in Brother Branham's death. I'm not bitter, but I'm not stupid. Dog bite me once, shame on dog. Dog bite me twice, shame on me. I'm a lone wolf. I'm a lone wolf in this congregation. I'll always be that way. Doesn't pay to be any other way. Doesn't mean you'll escape anything that's coming. Just means you don't ask for things that might not come unless you ask for them. Marry some short-haired dame on a bar stool, having nothing but a prostitute, that's your tough luck. You should have married someone in a church pew with long hair and grace in her heart. That's worth more than your offering this morning. He that is not with me is against me. Say, hey, were you with Brother Jones yesterday morning? I didn't even know he was around. Do you know that Logos is here this morning?
Amen.
Not guessing now. If you don't know he's here, how can you be with him?
Amen.
Oh, I'm with this preacher, I'm with that preacher. You ain't going to be there. Tell you that, friend. Can't do a thing for you except pull you down. If you want that, stick around. I can tell you about him who is here, though. He that is not with me is against me. He said that. Put him outside the church and then say, born again. He that gathereth not with me scatters abroad. Gather what? The children of God with this word. Every word opposite to this message is scattering. You understand now why we're getting more and more scattered in the Branham message? Sure. You think it's not going to increase? Stick around. Now let's get back to our verses in Matthew 12 again, 17 to 21, because we're just looking back and forth. That it might be fulfilled, as spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant who I have chosen, my beloved, whom my spirit is well pleased. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets, a bruise reed, and so on, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Now, notice especially 18b. And he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now, this shows that the same one who appeared in flesh will have a ministry to the Gentiles. And notice the emphasis is on the Spirit as pertaining to his ministry. I will put my Spirit upon him. And he... The emphasis on the Spirit. It's the Spirit that's going to deal with the Gentiles. You know that's true. There's no Gentiles there in Palestine. He came unto his own received him, huh? He never came to anybody else. Now listen. Verses 18 and 21. 221. Absolutely prove this ministry is to the Gentiles because it says in verse 19, he shall not strive nor cry, nor shall any man hear his voice in the street. Now, I told you a while ago at the beginning of the message, I'm going to show you scripture that you've taken for years to mention, oh, how lovely he is. Oh, what a dove he is. Oh, how sweet he is. Oh, how gentle he is. Oh, how he doesn't rebuke and so on. Come on, wake up. He shall not strive. Oh, come on. Jesus shan't strive? When he was in the flesh, he went into the temple, kicked over their temple, lashed the money changers, booted them out, said, you're your father the devil, you bunch of hogwash, tommy rot, downright scum, get out of here. Now, if that's not striving, I don't know what striving is. Nor cry. Speak in a hushed voice, brother. Speak in such a hushed voice because Jesus never raised his voice. He didn't. Oh, brother. That crowd out there. How did they hear him? With the voice screaming like the wind in the treetops. A thunder from out of the crowd. Voice roaring over the waves. I suppose 5,000 heard him because I got laryngitis this morning and I can't talk. He didn't raise his voice. On the great day of the feast, he cried with a loud voice. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. How does it? Neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Ha! Dear sir, would you please come into our synagogue and preach the sermon this morning? Why, they booted him out. He had to preach in the streets. This is not the historical Messiah that this scripture is talking about. He's talking about the one that comes to the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit, and he doesn't strive. Notice how Brother Branham didn't argue and debate, he just walked off. Or they said, Brother Branham, I believe you're wrong. You could be right, I could be wrong. When did he hold street meetings? Oh, brother, sister. What he's speaking here is to the Gentiles. It didn't happen in Israel. A bruised reed shall he not break. What is a reed? It's something you lean on. It gets brittle with old age. Then it breaks in the man's hand, and the shaft can run into the hand and hurt. 7 church ages. Until one day the oil and wine almost entirely ran out. Until it looked as though the gospel were entirely gone time after time. But it still was just enough there for a man to lean on and get support and make it to the kingdom. The smoking flax. What a smoking flax! It's a little bit of flax linen. You put it in oil and you light it. It's a wick. And the oil runs out. Well, it looks like there's nothing but smoke in the temple because the Spirit is beginning to go and leave. God, every age, poured a little measure in. Just poured a little measure in. It never went out. Listen, it looked pretty rough. For 7 church ages. But that one that never appeared in flesh to the Gentiles, but can only appear by the Spirit or come in the Spirit, is guaranteed to send forth victory, judgment rather, unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Listen, it looked pretty rough for 7 church ages. But that one that never appeared in flesh to the Gentiles, but can only appear by the Spirit or come in the Spirit, is guaranteed to send forth victory, judgment rather, unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Listen. Verse 21 says it's only a name that the Gentiles trust in. Thus the man of the name is not there. Only the name and the Spirit is there, as in verse 18. Let's go to Acts 13. 44 to 49, on the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitude there filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it's necessary the word of God should first be spoken to you. But seeing you put it from yourself and judge yourself and worthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so saith the Lord commanding us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of God was published. It doesn't say a thing about miracles. It doesn't say a thing about thus saith the Lord. It said they got in a theological argument. And that virgin word of God condemned and convicted and brought in souls of the Gentiles, while the Jews raged against it. And the word of God has gone on and on. But the man Jesus never once stood there. It was only in the Spirit, in the men that were lights to the world, that brought the word of God. No way did he himself stand there. This is the same as 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And in verse 16 it says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh, but what? After the Spirit. Oh, it doesn't say you don't know him anymore. The Spirit and the Gentiles trust in a name. Who do you believe in? I believe in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, where is he? Well, he's not here. He left his life. And we know his name. Now, we listen closely. Back to Matthew 12 again. Verse 18, B part. And he shall show judgment unto the Gentiles. Verse 20b, send forth judgment under victory. Verse 21, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. All right. He is going to send forth judgment. He is going to show judgment. Hebrews 4 and 12, Brother Branham used. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharp and two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. The casual believer will say that is the word of God as you read it. It'll do that to you. That is true that it will. But it says in Acts 3, Samuel, I know who you are. You're Saul. Son of Kish, you're looking for the asses. He said they've been found going home, but before you go home, we're going to anoint you king. Samuel with his unique ministry. And if you, a unique ministry of seeing by way of the ear. For he had the vision that God gave him, and the vision was hearing the word of God. God came into view through the word. And he brought God into view by the word. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight.
But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of what they have to do. Now that goes by the Bible. I'm standing up here this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. Don't be insulted, please, because I'm not referring to anybody. You know that as well as I do. But what if some man sitting in this pew this morning had committed adultery last night? That word of God doesn't expose you. You can sit there and commit all the adultery you want. But let William Branham stand in the pulpit.
Amen.
With the pillar of fire hanging there.
Yeah.
And he want to call you by name. He'd call you by name. And I wouldn't go to court if I were you. Because he'd name what every judge and every juror and every lawyer and every cop and what that man's wife and his kids and everybody else ever did. And if there are 5 million people, he wouldn't miss one.
Amen.
As God revealed it, the Bible doesn't do that. He's not talking of this per se. He is talking of the life of this.
Amen.
Acts 3 again, see? All right. Matthew 24 and 40. Then shall two be in the field, one taken, the other left. Judgment. Judging between. Couple of fine people working in the field. One just as godly as the other one. One just as fine as the other one. Now you take this word here. Two women gleaning. Sister so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Tell us this, tell us this. They come up 100% perfect, one with the other. Yet one's taken, one's left. This word didn't do it. Not this book. It was the life that was in it that said one taken and one left. It was the life that looked in the hearts of people. And the little pillar of fire hanging over a woman with arthritis did not hang over the woman with cancer. Though she was 10 times worse. Now listen. If an ox fall in a ditch and you pull out the ox and one person has arthritis and can bear it, but one is dying with cancer, you make this Bible tell me why the one with cancer dies, the one with arthritis lives on. Or you tell me why a lady dying with cancer gets up perfectly normal, never to be sick again, while the lady with arthritis gets worse and worse.
Amen.
It's a life within the Word. Because why did Jesus stop only one funeral procession when no doubt there was a dozen in the city that day? One take, leave one. Let's go back to Matthew 3 and 12. Whose fan is in his hand, he'll thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat in the garner. But burn up the chaff. When did he do that? He hasn't done it. He's doing it. The binding of the tares. The harvesting and the cleaning of the wheat. The cleaning up of this old earth before we come back. What's going on now? Jesus is not going to come down here with a fan in his hand. That is the man of the flesh. Logos is doing this. The anointed. And the anointing is one. He is here doing it. All right. He's showing judgment to the Gentiles. You see what I'm talking about? Not back in that day, it's in this day. The other was simply rebirth. Not personal presence of Godhead. Not the Father siring children. But the children having been sired. He's here. Amongst the adults, the manifested ones. And manifestation starts with believing the Word. He said to them, you can't hear me because there's no place for the Word in you. How would you be manifested some other place for the Word in you? He will send forth judgment unto victory. Oh, come on. That's an easy one. Over here in 2 Thessalonians. And unto you that are troubled, relax with us when the Lord Jesus shall come in the apocalypse from heaven with the seven mighty messengers of God. Happened out there near Sabina Canyon out that way. Not Sabina Canyon, but Wilcox. In flames of fire. Making a judgment. Yeah. Not taking vengeance as though vengeance was something God in wrath is doing. But God as a just judge, because He is the judge. That's what you see in the first chapter of Revelation. Judging between the same one who brings the gospel. The separating gospel is the same one that will bring the lake of fire. Amen. And what is He doing? We beseech you, brethren, by His presence. Revelation 10 and 1. You who are troubled, rest with us. When the mighty messenger comes down and puts one foot on land and sea, seven mighty messengers are with Him. The Holy Spirit in bodily form of angels. Dealing with Revelation 10 and 7. And at that time, His presence, gathering. That's why Brother Branham said that Spirit comes into the church of wisdom to bring the church in. The church threw Him out. So He went to heart doors and He began knocking. And He said, I'm looking for a bride. Remember how it was in the old songs of Solomon? He went tapping. Oh, she knew she loved him. She had a good idea who she loved. She was all made up for years in her mind. And He came tapping at the door. And she just was all just goose pimples and all ready for Him. She went to the door, caught a bare glimpse. From that time on, she just chased Him. There's no way He was going to get away. No. No way that the bride, I'm going to tell you something. There's been a lot of little old fables made up, over the years, Such as a person had a goose under his arm, a golden goose or something, and so somebody touched the goose and the finger couldn't get off. Let me tell you something. There's almost every fable, everything in life points even to the Word of God and fables and legends and everything else. I want to tell you something. When Jesus rapped at that door, there wasn't one bride ever turned Him away. Amen. No way, see. Now listen. Verse 21. Shall show... I've got to get back here and read it because I can't remember what it says. And in His name shall the Gentiles trust. This which He does will place preeminence in His name. Every prayer is in His name. Every deed is in His name. Everything is in His name. And you can't separate the Holy Spirit person from the name, or why do you name the name? Brother Branham said there are three personalities of God. He said, don't be silly. That makes three persons. No way. How can you name a name and not have a personality? Names name things. This is a person. It's the name. Alright, that which He does will place preeminence in His name. And that name will be the standard under which they shall cleave as the ultimate. The Jehovah complex has been known for centuries But it's this hour that we know him as he's never been known before. All right. We've gone over Matthew 12. We're doing beautifully. One third finished. No? Yeah. Just a moment. We'll go faster now. Go back to Isaiah 42 where we take this from. I'm not going to quit today. If you have to leave, you just go ahead and leave because I'm not going to spoil this message. Could be spoiled for all I know already. But I'm not going to spoil this by quitting today. No way. And I won't preach for a long time again likely. All right. 1-7. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He's not going to knock their heads off. I'll show you later on. But that's the way people read it. He shall not cry, nor cause his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he'll not break, a smoking flax not quench, till he bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Now hold it. He died on Calvary. They buried him. He rose the bodies at the right hand of the majesty on high. And yet he's supposed to do this. Thus saith the Lord, he that created the heavens. All things were made by him. You're listening. You're going to sleep on them. It's too hot in here. Turn the heat down. Open the windows. But nobody blink an eye. I'm not going to reteach and reteach. Listen, let me tell you something. I can don't read your hearts, but I know there is trouble over this one thing that Brother Branham constantly said. The Bible said, the Bible said, the Bible said, and you got no more understanding of that than nothing. And I'm not being insulting to anybody. I said, it's hard for me, and if it's hard for me, it's going to be doubly hard for you because I'm a gifted person. Not a smart person, not intelligent, no, just gifted. Or I'd never see this. I never would preach this of myself. I sit there and it begins to come. I don't have a thing to do with it. And I'm trying to show you something here. I've connected you. Thus saith the Lord. Who created? Logos. And what's he talking about? Logos. Don't sit here and go back to the man on the throne, Jesus. I'll come down and shake the living daylights out of you. Got anything in you? But I'm going to tell you something. There is one God. And he is Holy Spirit. And when Jesus was here, he etched himself upon him. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. Well, let me tell you. The scripture says the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That one has a God. And that one has a father, the same as you and me. We have an identification. We're talking about Logos now. Thus saith the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, then you'll understand a whole lot more because I'm going to read it to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. All things were created by Jesus Christ. And who's he talking about? Logos. He that spread forth the earth, that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath to the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles. Logos, talking to that which was Logos in flesh. To open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Prisoners to creeds and denominations, and to preachers. Merciful God, let me get out of this world by next month. Can't stand preachers. How can I stand almost anything? And I preach myself. It shall be light about the evening time. See? Now take verse 1. Behold my servant. Put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Messiah. Now, this Messiah to Israel will bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. That sounds like punishment or death. Not so. Judgment means verdict, decree, divine law. Verdict. I've made a verdict, Gentiles, you're coming in. I've made a decree. You're in my election, not one is going to miss. My divine law, it's all going to stand. The sense of this word or meaning or usage is one, to bring the matters to the rule. God said what I said about you and Abraham, I'm going to do. Okay? Administer justice as a magistrate. That same one that God spoke to Brother Brown and said, that wig and that robe signifies he's the judge. Who did he come to? Not the Jews, but to the Gentiles. Signifying the time of the true authority of God coming into the church, making himself the head to raise the dead and bring about a millennium. As we let the word interpret itself as the word, it tells what it means in verse 6. I, the Lord, have called in righteousness. I will hold thine hand. I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light to the Gentiles. That's what verse 1 says. Behold my servant, behold mine up, my, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Now he said, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. I have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thy hand. I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light to the Gentiles. Notice that same Messiah is now a light. Spiritual revelation. Doesn't say a thing about the physical. That's why if a man comes down here with nail prints, laugh at him and walk on. You're not going to see a man down here with nail prints. You're going to meet him in the air. Roman Catholic Church with a stigmata. A woman, every time she has her menstruational period, bleeds in her palms. And that's supposed to be God. Menstruation, God? It's worse than Pentecostal duck bumps. I don't have any use for sensations. I know I'm not the faithful servant of God I should be. I told you people, God told me, don't mind, don't look at one sign out there. Don't look at one sign in the world, one sign in the church, one sign in politics, geopolitics, any place. Just look here.
Amen.
And when I look here, I'm very happy. Yes. That's why I don't care about 9 planets or 99 planets lining up. What's that got to do with me? Let the earth tremble and be dissolved. Have faith in him who died for me and rose again to prove it. I don't care about this other. That's a bunch of nonsense. Okay. Let's read 7. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of prison houses. Revelation. That old 3rd chapter. They're all blind and everything else and don't even know it. Now, we read verse 7 here. Open the eyes of the blind and so on. Now, just hold your fingers there, maybe, and we'll go to Acts, the 26th chapter. And I'm using a tremendous amount of scripture, and I know that you won't retain it, but it's on tapes. Or if you wrote them down, it's okay. I don't know what you do. In verse 16 of the 26th chapter, Paul said, but rise, the voice said, stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Notice, he's a witness, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not just been to heavenly vision, but showed unto them first in Damascus, Jerusalem, throughout the coast of Judea, and to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. In other words, live holy lives. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first, that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now Paul witnessed to it, but it took Christ himself to show the light, to bring the light. Now, and as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you're beside yourself, you're mad. And he said, I'm not mad, but I speak for the words of truth and soberness, for the king knows these things, before whom I also speak. I am persuaded none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. And Agrippa said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. And we read back in Acts the 13th chapter how that the gospel went to the Gentiles. Now, do you understand what I've been saying? Jesus the man never did go to the Gentiles. He went to Israel and fulfilled what he was supposed to fulfill, which opened the door to the Gentiles so that he can fulfill what he's supposed to fulfill to the Gentiles and his spirit and name. The name identifies. See? It's the spirit we deal with. See, there's no use trying to see it any other way. It won't work. Can you see it? The man Christ Jesus in flesh was to Israel. But to the Gentiles it is He, Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit revealing the name and all that lies within the name because He is His name. Now, listen. Let's just go back to Ephesians again here. And I want to bring out to you and show you what was so thrilling to me just sitting here this morning as I grasped it. In verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and the only thing that Jesus got from His Father He inherited was that name. The Hebrew book says so. Alright. When you have inherited that name, and that name is in the Gentiles, that is exactly why it's in the name that the Gentiles trust. That's why the revelation of this hour is there's one God. And His name is Lord Jesus Christ. And you must be baptized within that name. See? Now, we do not know Jesus historically. We know Him as living spirit. To the Jews, He was a man. To the Gentiles, a revelation of the man by the Spirit. To Israel, a man. To the Gentiles, a light. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 42 again, and in verse 1 it says, Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now notice, the Spirit and the Gentiles is connected. He was a man, God in flesh, and they crucified Him. And when He came back as the Holy Spirit, they turned Him down. Now, it says that same one, identified as the Spirit, will have to come to the Gentiles. Who is He? Logos. The same one that led Israel through the Red Sea, through the wilderness. The same one that brought the miracles. Now listen, the revealed word to the Gentiles, that's Alpha. Now we carry on, 2 and 3, through the church ages. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause His voice to be heard in the street. Certainly not, He's not there. God didn't raise Him from the dead and say, Now, I tell you what you do, son, you just walk amongst the people, amongst the Gentiles. God didn't raise Him up that way to the Gentiles. He raises Him up by the Spirit. It's a spiritual thing. That's why the prophet said, if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, He will do in the Spirit now what He did in the flesh. And when He proved it, that showed you exactly what it was all about. And it caused a controversy. And the church says, well, I don't think so. Somebody else said, well, Branham's got a devil. That's all there is to it. Right back to the Hebrews. No different. Now listen. Let's get the understanding we're dealing with spirits. We're not dealing with flesh anymore. See? And I'm not talking only in the sense of Jesus being a man and that same one returning to spirit. I'm talking in sense of human beings. Israel was marked off the books. Only the elect seed will be taken into souls under the altar. God dealing not with humanity anymore, but by spirit. Counting all to be sinners. Now, through seven church ages, a bruised reed shall he not break, smoking flax not quench, shall bring, and he shall finally bring forth judgment unto truth. Finally, there'll be the revealed truth again. And not just again, it's going to be as it never was. Much more powerful. Now, in verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. What is that telling you? Expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Oh, you say Jesus doesn't get ever excited, and nobody gets excited over there in the great land, and this and that. I want to tell you, Jesus is excited in my books. And I believe the people over there are excited. They want to get back here. He's waiting. He's expecting. She said, well, have you ever seen anybody expect anything? The bridegroom is coming with a golden chariot to get me. I can hardly keep my eyes open. Oh, great Caesar's ghost. That's expecting? Jesus expecting? And there's no excitement? Poor old Jesus, he doesn't have excitement. He's flat as soda water, 6 weeks old out in the desert. He's got no personality. I got news for you. You don't see the same person I see. Oh, when he climbed on that throne. Oh, when he ripped the seals off of that book. It wasn't just heaven screaming. I bet he screamed the loudest of all. I hope he did anyway. Man, I want to tell you. You know what? Brother, sister, don't ever tell me that the fans who watch a man hit a home run are half as thrilled as the guy that makes it. Amen. Excitement in heaven. Got to preach about it. Get a little excitement here and there. I preach kind of dead for most people, but I get terribly excited inside. My mind lights up like flash bulbs in a pinball machine. Well, several short circuits, too, to add to their lights. Yes, I'm going to ask something. Are you excited?
Amen.
To know that something's going to happen?
Yeah.
Well, it says, the isles shall wait. They're excited, too. There's an excitement. And it's the right excitement. Because we've got the wedding ring of majestic proven grace upon our fingers. Not like the word. He sets. It says he sets. He establishes what he brought forth in verse 1, the confirmed word. And when he sets that word is in Revelation 10:7, from 10 and 1, the whole world waits for the kingdom. He's here. This is his word. You've seen the devils cast out. You've got the proof. Thy kingdom, O God, has come.
Amen.
Say, well, Brother Bill, I don't like that because, you see, I want everything beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Hallelujah, I got news for you. It is beautiful.
Amen.
See, listen, do you get the revelation? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Let me tell you something. With his presence, I want to quote to you the reality that can be in your soul this morning concerning his presence. So you come behind in no gift, waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself in his presence shall confirm you blameless at the end time. Blameless. Nobody can bring a word against you. And if they do, it won't stick in court. It's what Paul says, who dares condemn me? God stands here as a judge. Go ahead. Talk to God about me. Tell him to send me to hell. Tell him I'm no good. They'll say, who are you to judge another man's servant? I said he's righteous. Kind of takes the steam out, doesn't it? How much steam is taken out? We can't even give the kids dues for being kids, can we? We can't give women dues for being women. Oh, we're nice here in Quincy, aren't we? I'll let you off the hook. I won't say anything meaner than that. Huh? Well, I hope you're getting what I'm preaching. The world is waiting for the kingdom to be manifested. It's been already proven. Yep. 5-7. The same 42nd verse chapter. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it. And remember, there was to be a fresh breath at the end time. Acts 3:18, the middle part of it. And the Spirit to them that walk therein. What's he talking about? The Word, one that identifies with the Word. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. What else would he call you in? Well, come on. Good time? Money? Healings? Power? What's it going to do you? If you're not as righteous as God, where are you going? I won't answer that question because I don't know myself. Could be white throne and make it. It could be lake of fire. You know the highest thing he called you right here in righteousness? He called you in righteousness is the Holy Ghost, God himself. And will hold thine hand. Same promise he made to Jesus, same as ours. We're identical. Jesus went through the election. We went through the election. And will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people and light for the Gentiles. Everything that's laid in Jesus, everything is laid in us. Absolute identification. And it's all coming to pass. Every age has received a measure of the Spirit, a little revelation of His name, but at the end time He is here to reveal Himself and place His name in the bride. It is a complete revelation. We are now back to John 17:25-26. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. It tells you right there the second declaration of the name of God. He declared that name once in human flesh when they looked at him and saw it all. He declared that name again when the prophet stood there in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus saith the Lord. You'll never get away from it, brother, sister. We might also read over here in the book of the book of Isaiah chapter 49, I believe it is. Verses 1-7. We're getting on real fast now. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people afar. The Lord hath called thee from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand, hath he hid me. Made me a polished shaft in his quiver, hath he hid me. And he said, thou art my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I've labored in vain. I spent my strength for naught in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work is with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed thee from the womb to be his servant to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it's a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and be restored to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation at the ends of the earth. Now listen, the work that Jesus did not fail in Israel. Not one of Israel's going to be lost. They're all going to make it. Now, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, His Holy One, to whom him man despiseth, to him whom the earth abhorreth, to the servant of rulers, kings shall arise, and princes shall also worship because of the Lord that is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, He shall choose thee. Now that same one is a light to the Gentiles to the ends of the earth.
Ask ye a question, have the ends of the earth come upon us or not? See, there you are. Right to the ends of the earth. How is it being done? Kingdom being set up. Being over here according to 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, where God has now descended to bring to pass all that which he said concerning that which was the Son. Now, back to Matthew again. The 12th chapter and verse 14. And then the Pharisees went on and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Listen, don't you understand that is Alpha? And the same thing proceeds again today in Revelation chapter 13, which is the raising up of the image to bring on the mark of the beast. And in verses 15 to 21, I'm not going to read that. I've read it to you already, how that this is to the Gentiles. Now, all those years until now, there has been no voice of the bridegroom. There is a promise of revelation, but none since the bride went off course. In 2 Corinthians 11 and 4, there is no word whatsoever that says the bride will be brought back to course until the end time. Because it's at the end time, there's two virgins, wise and foolish. And the wise go in. So therefore, in Matthew 25, something happens. To know what happened in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 4, when she went off a course. All these years the bride has drifted. That's why Brother Branham said they guessed at things. Too many loose ends. But verse 20b, it says here, the last part till he sent forth judgment unto victory. In other words, there'll be no demonstration of the positive proof until the staff is just about ready to break. And the smoking flax is just about ready to go plumb out. Then God comes on the scene. And he begins to judge and show discernment. Begins to work amongst the Gentiles. So now we see Omega from the Alpha of verse 18. Verse 18, back there was that living one to Israel. Was the one that would come to the Gentiles. And it proved that he was that one. That was Alpha. Now there comes Omega. Of the very end time. And verse 21 stresses the name. All through six church ages that name has been almost obliterated. But notice, in the third chapter of the verse of Revelation, the 12th verse, him that overcometh, when I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he'll go out no more, and I'll write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh from God, my God, from heaven, and I'll put upon him my new name. You'll notice in there, under the sixth church age, there is the whisper of the hope that things are going to climax. See? Now, let's go back to Matthew again, the 12th chapter, because this is absolutely to the Gentiles. 20 to 21, which you read before. Just get it for it. A bruised reed he'll not break. Smoking flax he will not quench. Till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Now, I want to read the 19th verse. He shall not strive nor cry, neither any man shall hear his voice in the streets. Okay, with that. Revelation 3:20-21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, I'll open the door. I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. And him that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me in my Father's throne. Now notice, there is no such thing at the end time as a great ingathering of souls personally to the kingdom. When he comes down, it's an individual matter of him going to each bride and dealing with each bride and sealing that bride in. Under his own authority of revelation. She is a part of that revelation. What is that revelation? Christ in the midst. Christ revealed. She now a part. Because if he is word revealed, then she has got to be, because she's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. See? Now listen. Hebrews tells us the same thing. And we've read this many, many times here. We keep going back and forth to it. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Verse 25. For if they escape not to refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape. If we turn away from him, that is from heaven. Doesn't say speaks from heaven. It says it is from heaven because the thunder sounded on earth. You can get this Bible so messed up because the translators didn't know what they were doing. They did their best, but they didn't have a revelation. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now promising, yet once more I shake not the earth, but heaven also. That's right. At the end time, when the prophet comes on the scene, the last day revelation comes, Satan is cast out of heaven. Heaven shook up. Earth is shook up. The whole thing is shook up. Now, signifying when he speaks, the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, what can't be shaken? What God sees. Nothing else. The bride is the only unshaken element there is left. Why? It says that wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. That tells you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That which is started now and you're a part of it cannot be changed. You say, Brother Vail, I don't think I want to go to heaven. And you're a part of it, you ain't going to miss it. You say, Brother Vail, I just am afraid I'm going to go to hell. If you're part of heaven, you ain't going to hell. See? Now, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace. Oh, there's nothing but grace to get anyway. Whereby we may serve God, except with reverence and godly fear, for our God's a consuming fire. Where do you find that God's a consuming fire? Matthew 3, who found us in his hand 30 purges before he gathered wheat in the garner. Right. Revelation chapter 1, the judge coming down. Isaiah chapter 42, 1 to 7. Matthew chapter 12. About 15 to 21. See? Now that the revelation of the name at the end of the sixth age and the start of the seventh year, illumination has come. And we are back to originals. Now, notice Matthew 12, 9 to 14. When he was departed, he went to their synagogue. Man had a withered hand on the Sabbath day, he healed it. Gave him his reason. It's not the reason they want. This is what happened. They took counsel to destroy him. Christ busted wide their traditions and their works, and so did the prophet. So a council was formed to kill the man of the name. Now recall Brother Branham's vision of the Trinitarian Club. Denomination's the husband. The church, the woman, trying to get the name. Trying to get the revelation, clubbed down every single time. And William Branham made a devil. Let me tell you, it was in the 30s, as far as I know history, that the World Council of Churches was brought forth. The image to the beast was already started. It was in 1933, June 11th, that God began to come down and begin to move amongst the people, begin to bring us to the place where we could be truly placed. The negative started at the same time. Now listen, Jesus' name, Revelation, brought the mighty miracles of Matthew, where we read about. Then it brought the rejection. Now it is the death plague of Egyptian separation. Of Matthew 12. 31 to 37. Wherefore I say all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven against men, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. Under what condition did Jesus say, you can blaspheme me and get away with it? Because he stood there as a sacrifice. But I want to tell you something, brother, sister, since the opening of the seals, he is sitting on the throne, priest king. Blaspheme him who stands here now, you don't have a chance. Whosoever speaks the word against the Son of Man be forgiven him. Speaks against the Holy Ghost, never forgiven him. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known of his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you be evil, speak good things? How can you discern the Holy Ghost and the Word unless you've got Him? How can you tell a good thing unless there's something in there that's good? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And there's a place in the heart for the soul. A good man out of the good treasure of heart bringeth forth good things. Oh, not nice things like stew kettles and pots and pans and meals for the hungry. Word! By your words you're condemned, and by your words you're justified. What do you think of William Branham? The devil, if ever saw one. What do you think of William Branham? Prophet of God, without a doubt. What do you think of William Branham? He was Jesus Christ. Oh, you got to be nuts. He was the Son of Man. You're crazy. He revealed the Son of Man. Prophet sent from God. How much of God was veiled in his flesh? Don't ask me. Ask God. How much is veiled in yours? Don't ask me. I'm not that smart a theologian. I know he was a prophet, designated as Elijah. I know he's vindicated. I know what the Word says about him. I don't know what the Word does not say about him. But I send you to every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. What's he talking about? Telling jokes? So you go around looking like a mule? You've been eating sawdust and barbed wire or something? It's not talking about that. It's talking about your ability to discern between the things of God in your hour and that which is not. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And the Bible said, God listened to those that talked a certain way. And a book of remembrance was made. And he said, aha, there's my bride, the jewels in my crown. Amen. Come on, let's understand the word of God and get away from your hypocritical nonsense that you can produce something in this last day. But it doesn't stop there. And certain scribes of Pharisees answered, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And he said, bless your heart. That's my kind of people. You should be careful. You should lay out fleeces. You should ask for signs. Well, I guess I'm cutting a few toenails this morning. You're lucky I didn't cut your toes off. A wicked, adulterous generation, denominational, whorish seed.
Right. Amen.
The harlot Eve. By an animal. Cain. Seeks a sign. You are of your father the devil, and his works you do. You want a sign. And no sign will be given it of your wanting. But my sign will be, I'll be back in 3 days. And the same one was back to the Gentiles within the 3 days. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, the queen of the south and the wicked cities will rise up in the judgment. And they'll be better off than you. This age is in the same boat. I'll leave some notes on it. Now, that light separates. 46 to 50. While he yet talked to the people, behold his mother. His brethren stood without desiring to speak with him. Then one said, behold thy mother, and thy brethren stand without desiring to speak to thee. And he answered, who is my mother, who is my brother? And he stretched forth his hands to his learners. All thy children shall be taught of God. And he said, this is my mother, this is my brother. And whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. What is the will? That they believe on him whom thou hast sent. That men cannot believe the Logos in our midst today that came forth from God, they will believe nothing though they claim to believe everything. They will have nothing though they claim to have everything. They may loudly shout, we are rich and increased in goods and lack nothing, but the voice of the Holy Ghost has already said, in condemnation, you're wretched and miserable, poor, blind and naked. I'll pass a few notes up. All right. This brings us back. That's enough for this. I would only read a few more verses anyway to let you know the hour in which we live. But this brings us back to Ephesians 1:17. Ephesians 1:17 said that God would send the Spirit, the Logos, into the bride at the end time. And Brother Branham categorically said that is so, and he told about it. And that Spirit, God is Spirit. That same one that foretold the blinding of Israel has foretold the blinding of the Gentiles. And that Spirit is known as the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of power. That one that decreed how the elect would come in, how it would all work out, is now leaving the Gentiles and turning back to Israel